We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Dusty and Friends.
Oregon head football coach Dan Lanning. Where did that love for the game start for you?
Yeah, you're just saying it, man. Makes like the hairs stand up on my arms. There's a lot of sports out there where you can be an individual. That's not the case in football. It's the ultimate team sport. It takes the 11 guys on the field, but every guy that's on the roster on the sideline as well.
This is Dusty and Friends.
Oh, man, I'm all right. They've never been better yet.
Dusty and Friends on 1080 The Fan.
Let's go.
Ooh, yeah.
Good afternoon. Happy Friday to you. The 13th of May, which means it's Friday the 13th. Dusty Hara, Ryan Buckley is here. Hello, Ryan.
Hi, hello. How are you?
I'm great. Our friend of the day is going to ride for three straight hours. He will ride for the sports portion of it, and then we're going to dive in to you. Getting to know from the College Football Matrix, Dave Bartu is here. What's up, Bartu?
Dude, just happy to be down here and avoid traffic. Isaac and Sucre and be like, so you can get to Dusty's show on time, but not ours.
We were talking about this before the show. This is, you and I come from out west. Where you live, it's really not even a city. It doesn't really, you want to call it Forest Grove, but it's not. You live in the boonies, Styx, and I live in Hillsboro. So it is... it's a crapshoot once you hit 3 o'clock. Anybody that's out there knows this, that when you're heading west on Highway 26, the worst thing is that the traffic is completely unpredictable there.
Oh, I hate coming down here for the next show because seriously, every time I leave, it doesn't matter. I used to leave at 2 and then I'd leave at 1:45.
Yeah.
The last time I left at 1:35, and I couldn't get here till almost 3:30. It was, I give up. I just totally give up.
It doesn't matter when you pick. You're always just going to be late. But you made it down here for this, and that's the important thing, man. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, no, I'm excited to be here. It's a nice day. I didn't realize it was Friday the 13th.
Yeah. Are you a superstitious guy?
No.
Not at all. Well, you're a numbers guy.
Not about anything.
Yeah, you use numbers and reason to get through everything. I highly doubt it because you're a gambler. So you are definitely superstitious.
Yeah. Oh, maybe a little bit, but I'm definitely not hot hand fallacy guy or anything like that. There's not a lot of coincidence. I will admit when I was a lot younger and I wasn't into the numbers, you know how you're watching your team.
Yeah.
Stuff goes bad.
Oh yeah.
And you get up and leave the room because it's you.
Yeah.
Right? You're watching your team and you're causing whatever meltdown happening.
100%.
Yeah.
That was something that it takes a while to break out of. And I do appreciate my friends that have stuck with it, though, because if you are the type of person that it says, I'm doing this for the betterment of the team, you're a true team player at that point, you know?
Right. You know, the lucky shirt that I haven't washed in 86 years because, you know, we win when I wear it and washing it would be bad.
So about that person in the room who's messing everything up.
Yeah.
San Francisco Giants, first World Series of my lifetime back in 2002, and they ended up losing to the Angels. They're up 5-0 in game 6 with 7 outs to go.
Right.
To win the World Series. And I'm at my buddy's house, and his sister's friend comes over. She's like, what's going on? What's going on with the game? And like immediately the Angels just start raking, and we're like, you have to go.
Yeah.
She's like, but I don't even care. No, I'm not gonna. And we're like, no, and My buddy, whose house it was, he physically lifted her up and he took her outside and he put her on the front porch and he locked the door behind her and he's like, Carly can't come in. That's how this is going to go.
You know what?
And then our parents had a little intervention with us about the fact that our actions don't actually matter to the outcomes of the teams.
See, I disagree in baseball. Baseball might be the only sport where my superstitions, they do stick. Like, it is, everybody's got to be sitting in the same spot. Like, everybody has, baseball's different for me. Like, football, basketball, no. Baseball is such a weird sport. For whatever reason, I'm with you.
See,
I'm with you on baseball.
For the players, maybe, but I don't think, you know, us sitting in, you know, Danville were really having an effect on what was happening in Anaheim or what have you.
That's what you think.
But, well, isn't it fun to wonder? You know, I mean,
yeah,
what starts that? You know, is it your dad where you're sitting there watching sports with your dad?
Yes.
And he does something crazy or mom does something and, oh, don't move.
Well, I think it comes with like truly being passionate about whatever team it is. Like, if you are that passionate, it is, you want so desperately to be part of the reason why they're winning or losing. You're manufacturing this in your head. Like, right, this is my contribution to the championship run here.
Right, exactly. I'm going to go to this home game. And because I'm there as a loyal fan screaming my head off, I am making a difference. No, you're not.
All right.
Right? No, you're not.
One of my favorite instances of this was, do you remember Oregon, when Oregon went to Tennessee and they got off to a slow start, right, and then the thunder and lightning delay happened.
Right, the huge delay with the storm.
My buddy, he wanted to change the juju after the delay. And so he goes, I'm going to take a shot. And then that was like, I think it was the second play. Was LaMichael James like busted a big one?
Right.
And he was like, I have to take a shot after every touchdown now. And I was like, oh boy. And that's the game where the floodgates opened for Oregon. And they just went like touchdown. He was tanked.
Yeah, well,
by the end of it. But he thought it was his shots that were going to, that is what fueled it, because right when he's like, I got to change the juju, he was a mess by the end of that game, because the touchdowns all came in like boom, 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 boom. And he was looking around like, uh-oh.
Yeah, I had a similar instance.
I've made a grave
mistake. When I was at U of O, similar instance during a U of O basketball game. This was like the Tawan Porter era. And we decided we were going to drink a shot for every three-pointer made against UW that night. And I mean, college game, 40 minutes, you're not thinking. It was still really before the full evolution of the three-pointer, so nobody was chucking them up that much. They ended up hitting like 13 of 20. Okay. So in that two-hour game, we were like 13 shots deep, and it was a mess for all of us.
My goodness, Buckley.
Yeah, I don't remember most of my drinking games.
I only remember because of the box score the next day. That's how we knew how many we
had. Mean you won?
what happened? The last time that happened to me was USC at the Ducks.
Mm.
I think that would have been 90. 90? Yeah.
1989. Yeah.
Okay.
Two
bottles of malt liquor before the game, and I passed out in my seat. How I was not escorted out of Austin, I don't know. I passed out in my seat. Apparently, the fraternity that was camped behind us, the row behind us, I just got beat to hell the entire game. Don't remember anything. And yeah.
You just wake up sore?
No. I woke up. Basically, my friends were carrying me from Austin.
Oh, my goodness.
And I remember waking up. I was like, wow, we were on the Austin Bridge.
Yeah.
I'm like,
we got good friends, bar two.
Did we win? Don't remember any. I remember warm-ups, and that was it.
I'm going to go ahead and go out on a limb there. In 89 or 90, the answer is probably no.
Yeah. No.
Against SC? No. Yeah. Yeah, that's a big no. 503-250-1080, your superstitions are coming. Brandon Roy's 23-point comeback against Dallas. My mom was outside, and my brother made her stay out there the entire fourth quarter.
There's
thanks,
that
mom.
Devotion right there.
See?
Oh, we need more of those. I want crazy sports psychosis habits to keep your team from not losing a game.
And this is a good one. Baseball's different because of the unspoken rules. Like, hey, not talking about a no-no when it's happening. Can't put that into the atmosphere. That is, like, baseball, they want you to believe that everything actually not on the field affects what's going on. Like, the not talking about a no-hitter. I saw that the Hops were getting no-hit the other day. Mm-hmm. and somebody did a screenshot of they were like following the Spokane Chiefs, and they were their Twitter feed was like, you know, playing really well right now, top of the eighth inning. And the Hops were right after him with, there is a no hitter going on. We don't want to jinx this no hitter.
Don't talk
that is
about
happening
it.
Right now against us. It's just the way it's got to be in baseball.
No, and it's part of the fun, though.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the connectivity with the game and thinking that there's actually something there, and it's exciting. It really is. You know, win or lose, I think that's the fanatic side of it.
Tex says, I started playing high school hockey. I played defense, and I never looked at our goal. Wow. Like, so you just never turn around. Is that?
And wouldn't that be especially hard to do if you're, like, skating behind the net? Don't you have to kind of see the goal?
I don't know.
To navigate around it?
Maybe he's just never looked back.
I don't know. My weirdest one is I always put my left sock on first. Like, when I was getting ready for like a sporting event.
Ooh, this is one after my collegiate days.
It would have
days.
To be.
Before every Ducks football game, I have to drink a beer in the shower or the Ducks will lose.
Huh. I am pro.
That's called weekdays, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm pro Bowers or beer showers. Those are fantastic. And if you pull one of those off before every Duck game, more power to you. It's going to be real hard to justify if the Ducks ever get one of those 9 a.m. kicks. You're sitting there like, all right, good morning. Here we go.
God, I'm sitting here trying to remember stuff that I've done in the past that was like that. You know, I'm old, so I don't remember a whole lot.
You stop doing it when you, I think the older you get, unless you're really lunatic superstitious, then right. You will walk out of the room if something bad's happening. I mean, I've done that before where I think it started as unintentionally, but there have been times where like you'll turn the Blazer game on and you'll be like, oh, wow, they're up by, you know, 7. And then the other team goes on like a 14-0 run. You're like, okay,
turn that off, click.
And then you turn it back and then all of a sudden you flip it back on real quick and they came back. We got a lead again. And then at that point it is, I have to turn this game off or I'm going to screw this up for them.
Yeah, my father-in-law, he worries about stuff like that. We had Duck season tickets for 17 years. And he always drove the RV down. We'd pick up my son when he was in school on Friday. And we would go down every Friday afternoon, stay Friday night, Saturday, drive home the best we could on Sunday. But he got in the habit of one time we ordered Tracktown, had it delivered.
Mm.
And the next day was a big game, right? And they won. And we had to have every Friday night, that Tracktown pizza had to be delivered. The exact same pizza every Friday. And there was one time his phone died, his cell phone. And he was just like, we're not going to win tomorrow. We've got to get this Tracktown pizza to the RV. And I was like, you're okay, cool. Let's figure this out. But I guess different strokes for different folks.
I love it. I love it.
I remember a similar tale from a Giants pitcher during their 2012 World Series run. He came on strong like he hadn't been pitching in the second half, and they asked him, like, what's changed? And he's like, my wife has started making me enchiladas every night before my starts, and her enchiladas are, like, doing the trick. And so he was, like, digging him out of, like, behind series holes all postseason, and so they became rally enchiladas among the fan base, and everyone was eating them before his starts.
This text says, I was 6 or 7 in the Stanley Cup, and the Red Wings killed a power play versus the Penguins while I was doing dishes. I ran the sink for every power play after that.
Awesome. See, awesome, right?
You made a difference there.
I love that.
It sink doesn't get old.
Power play, sink! You gotta get to the sink! Let's go! And it makes it ramps up the entertainment value of when you're watching a game at home too, if you have something like that.
Oh yeah.
I'm all for it. I'm all for it. Dave Bartu is in the building with us. We're going to get to know Bartu. He's a man of mystery and a man of many tales, as Bartu will dive into your background, your why of why you got into the world of sports and how you got into the world of sports. College Football Matrix, it started out as a guy trying to just get your information out there, and now you're going on radio shows. Now you're helping athletic departments hiring coaches, for goodness sakes.
Yeah, it started with just trying to crack the code. It was this show. It was this building Because my first analytics stuff is I worked for big banking out of when I graduated from U of O. And in my spare time, this is how, okay, this will tell you how bloody nerdy I am with data, is this is pre-kids, before married, right? So I would spend extra hours after work diving into the company database on consumer behavior.
Really?
Yes. And so I spent god-awful amount of time modeling Pacific Northwest consumer finance behavior. And I found a pattern of what people took products. And it was highly correlated. And so, and Wells Fargo still uses that model today.
Interesting.
This is 25 years ago. And I used that expertise to get another job at a hospital over here to our right. And one day I was driving from the banking side in Tigard over to the hospital consulting job. And I'm coming right through the Twilliger curves. I can still remember it like it was yesterday. And I'm coming through the Twilliger curves and some young dude is on the air at 1080 The Fan. And I don't listen to it that much, right?
Yeah.
But some Colin Cowherd dude is on the air. And he's talking about how his buddies in Vegas evaluate college football with talent. Well, this was 2008. And this is kind of like the dawn of all the new recruiting information. Basically, right. 2002 is when it started. And he's talking about all the talent. And I'm like, well, I got all this talent data. So why don't I start mining it? And this is also a similar time that Oregon started talking national championship and how do we get there and how do we get better? And, you know, Phil's money starts pouring in. And I'm like, so what does it take to be a national title winner from a recruiting standpoint? And that's how it all started.
Okay.
Listening to Colin Cowherd, that's how it all started.
Wow.
So you want the butterfly effect.
Here we go.
Yeah. Oh.
I like this.
Everything goes. So the butterfly effect from there is now I'm sitting here talking to you.
Yeah.
I have helped head coaches hire more staff than anybody else ever in college football. And it also parlayed into my CBD company, and I'm partners with Mike Singletary now.
Okay.
All because I was listening to this show, this station.
Like
coming down I-5.
That's incredible. Well, I want to dive into that and how you got the Matrix and what the Matrix is.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up at 1 o'clock, we will get into the sportsy side of it. Dave Bartu, College Football Matrix. He is in studio with us. Let's talk some hoops though. It turns out they're both going to be back next year, and I don't think Philly's happy about it. Dusty and Friends on the Fan.
Selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
We got Dave Bartu in, College Football Matrix. We're going to learn the story and the path of the Matrix man himself, Dave Bartu, coming up at the top of the hour. But you said, you know what, I want to talk some other sports too. Have you thought about dabbling in any other sports? You're an analytics guy and numbers guy by nature, and obviously the NBA is analytically driven now. Have you ever thought of diving into some of the numbers behind any of the other sports?
No, I not on the NBA side of it.
Yeah.
Actually, during the right before the March Madness tournament, about a week before it, one of my football clients, the AD, sends me a message. You know, all these guys are back east, so I get this. You know, for them it's 8 o'clock. For me, it's, you know, five. You know, my phone dings and. And he's like, "Hey, I got to replace my head coach. Who do you know that does college basketball analytics the way you do football?" Nobody.
Nobody.
I said, "Can you give me 48 hours?" So, to me, the most important thing in college football is offensive and defensive scoring efficiency.
Right.
Okay. The easiest way to put that is points per play.
Okay.
On offense, points per play given up on defense. Yep. So what I did is I modeled out offensive and defensive scoring efficiency for every college basketball team over the last decade. And so
how do you do that in 48 hours?
Just start scrubbing websites for data.
Smokes.
And so my premise was the same as college football, is how many possessions, live action possessions. So you got to factor out the turn, you know. So if you turn the ball over, that's still a possession, right? And now there's dead ball points, which are free throws. How efficient are you at giving up and creating dead ball points? How efficient are you per possession on 2 points and 3 points offensively and defensively? And so I was able to grade every current head coach based on their ability to coach offensive efficiency and defensive efficiency.
And then you marry that with recruiting?
And then I sent that to the AD. I'm like, well, here's everybody. And he hired one of the top 20 guys on the list, you know, because it made sense. Now, an interesting side shoot to that, though, here's way outside the box thinking. I'll run this by you. I've never brought this up to anybody before. But when I was looking at all these numbers, there was a lot of head coaches that were really good at one thing, right? They were elite defensive coaches, or they were elite offensive coaches, but they were really crappy at the other one, right? So in football, you have elite play callers. So you have a head coach that's, let's say, an elite play. So like Dan Lanning, all right? You got an elite defensive mind that may call the defensive plays, but he's not a good offensive mind, so he hires somebody to do it.
Right.
You know, Jonathan Smith, elite offensive mind, hires somebody to call the defensive plays. So in basketball, is it really out of the question, because you're calling out defensive sets and then they go down to the offense, you're calling offensive sets. What if you were bad at one of those and you hired a guy that was really good at it to do it?
Right. Yeah.
I know that sounds weird.
And in the NBA, you do have them because, like, you know, Terry Stotts was the Rick Carlisle's offensive coordinator in Dallas when they won the championship. He was in the NBA. You have these coordinators that's their job.
Really?
Yeah.
They did that?
Yeah.
Yeah. The Warriors have a guy, Ron Adams, who has been the kind of the guru of their defense all along.
But they don't get nearly
Why doesn't
as
everybody
much,
do that?
Nearly as much pub as you do in football, because I don't know, for whatever reason, in basketball, the head coach is the guy who just gets all of the
And I'm not
love.
Sure every team does it, though. I think that sometimes, you know, you have your maybe four main assistants and they split it up different ways.
Right. And there may be egos in the way, or this is the way I've always done it. And I didn't get here letting somebody else call my plays for me, but I'm looking at, like, okay, Texas Tech, your top five defensive scoring efficiency. You're a badass.
Right.
Wicked. And then you're 168th in offensive scoring efficiency. Stop calling the plays. You know, give some guy $500,000 of your salary to call out the offensive plays and coach offense.
Yeah.
It just makes too much sense to me. I know it's against the grain and not normal, but that's what I saw in the numbers. So I did get into the college basketball on that side. And last month we had the NFL draft.
Yeah.
So I...
Now you're getting into the draft.
I got into the draft deep. Okay. If you were an NFL GM right now, I am really confident that if you and I work together for the next year, we could produce the best scouting staff in football.
Really?
Using draft metrics by position, by pick, starting efficiencies and everything, you could figure it out.
Like, so I've assembled the dream team, huh?
Of scouting.
Yeah.
And then we could do the same thing with coaching.
Wow.
And so I think it's, but the one thing I did learn from the draft is anybody who looks at the draft by round, like first round value, second round, if you use the word round, you are looking at it wrong. Stop doing it. It means nothing.
Perfect. Bar two. I love this. I mean, that just started with the simple question of, have you gotten into the other sports? We've got to get into the NBA playoffs here really quick, though, because we saw Philadelphia right on cue, just as expected. And as Philly goes down, two guys are coming back. We'll talk about that after Buck with SportsCenter. Jimmy Butler, after the Miami Heat's 99-90 win over the 76ers, walking back to the locker room yelling, "Tobias Harris over me," which still seems absolutely crazy that Jimmy Butler could have been a part of the Philadelphia 76ers. And he's the guy that sends them packing. And now there is panic in the streets in Philly, as there should not be, because that was totally predictable what happened to the Philadelphia 76ers in this round.
Well, it's just, we talked about it before, right? Roster consistency, coaching continuity,
right?
And you have no consistency there. And so I think we expect to, you know, with these, because every once in a while, a big trade works, mm-hmm. right? You know, the Rams get Stafford and boom, they get a Super Bowl ring. More often than not, that continuity does not work out well. And so, you know, if you're a Sixers fan, like you said, it's a little bit predictable in that there just hasn't been roster stability like the Miami Heat.
Yeah, and you have the external factors too. I mean, you're talking about bringing in James Harden, who, again, another playoff no-show in an elimination game, where if you're talking about the guys, and look, I don't do victory laps very often, but when this trade happened, I think I'm not the only one. I just sat there and I said, this is not going to work. This is not make them a championship team. Have we watched James Harden? Have we seen James Harden in the playoff? Inevitably, it's going to happen where he disappears in the postseason. Now, he's been largely absent for a huge part of this postseason, but that was a complete no-show when he has two shot attempts in the final two quarters of their season, 0 points in the second half for Harden. He was a complete no-show in that game. And then you have the element of Doc Rivers, and this is kind of what happens to Doc Rivers teams, right? They are at the same point that they have been, which is a conference semifinals team, and that is it. That sucks for Joel Embiid, whose face is busted, his thumb is busted, and he is one of the most dominant players in the NBA, and he can't get past this point because of what you were just saying. That roster construction, continuity, consistency, and then you have those intangibles of the mentality of James Harden, and it's a recipe for disaster again.
You start looking at, and maybe it's just me, but given my age, you know, the guy that was always great in the regular season that mm-hmm. just never led his team anywhere was, all in my mind, was always Dominique Wilkins.
Right? Human highlight reel.
26, 28, 30 points a game, unbelievable regular season, zero in the playoffs. And it seems to be there's a lot more guys now that are like that.
Yeah.
You know, that are just massive regular season monsters. You know, they're the combine monster. And but then when it gets down to the bullets flying, they just lay an egg.
And they pucker and they kind of disappear. And that's been Harden. Like, it's amazing to me how people think that, like, all right, it's going to be different now, right? It's going to be different now. And I thought Joel Embiid, who he's taken some heat for these comments, he's just speaking the truth. And we had a moment of honesty from a professional athlete on what we're looking at right now?
I don't know. I think he's been, obviously, I'm sure, you know, since we got him, everybody expected the Houston James Harden, but that's not who he is anymore. He's more of a playmaker. I thought, you know, yeah, at times, you know, could have been, as all of us, could have been more aggressive, all of us, whether it's Tyrese or Tobias or, you know, guys coming off the bench.
He's not the same player that he was in Houston. And it's honesty. And people like are wanting to panic. It's like, what did you expect him to be? We didn't see it in Brooklyn either. We haven't seen it over the last couple of years from James Harden.
Or isn't he the same player? Realistically, did he do anything for Houston in the playoffs?
He's just an older version of what he used to be.
Right.
For Houston,
I mean, it's the same guy.
For that reason, I feel like the two people who are getting really like raked over the coals today are Harden and are Doc Rivers. And I think Daryl Morey deserves some culpability in this because he had a front row seat to this crash and burn with Harden in Houston, and he's running it back in Philly.
Right. I mean, we talked about front office decisions.
Yeah.
Right. Same thing that I found in the NFL is roster continuity. You know, how many starts do you get out of your starters and turning things over? And there should be no surprise that the guy melted down in the playoffs because that's what he does.
That's what he is.
Right? I mean, that's what you put Russell Westbrook in the playoffs. What are we going to expect? A meltdown.
A meltdown.
Failure, right? I mean, it's just, and it's no different like with college football when I'm grading head coaches. You know, if they start out good, chances are they're going to stay good their whole career. If they start out bad, they're probably going to stay bad. You don't suddenly have this light bulb where you get it. You either got it or you don't.
And I think the panic of any fan of Embiid who spoke the truth last night, that was kind of offset by the fact that James Harden said he'll be back next year because he has a $46.5 million player option next year, $47.5 million player option next year.
He ain't going nowhere.
Because he's not getting that money from anybody else.
No.
And this is the craziest part about like what James Harden and the 76ers are going through is that 76er fans are about to panic because the best way to do this, if you're Philly and you actually want to become a better team, is if you extend him long term and you say, we're not going to give you $47.5 million for 1 year, but we'll give you $50 million for four. Right.
Yeah. I don't know how you deal with it. And I'm sure if you're an older Sixer fan, this is a little bit of Barkley PTSD, right?
Right.
I mean, you had one of the greatest players in the NBA for how long and couldn't get over the hump. Not once. So this is kind of a boomerang back on them. But it's hard to put it all together.
And the other part of this, too, is that today Daryl Morey, who, Buck, you're saying deserves more culpability. Yeah, he does, because he also said Doc Rivers is going to be back again next year as well. So then you're going to have two of what many believe are the weak links of this Philly franchise being Doc Rivers, James Harden, who could hamstring this franchise moving forward and eventually getting, you know, Joel Embiid a title because of the fact that he is an MVP caliber player.
And let's not forget, he fumbled the whole Ben Simmons situation. The holdout, I'm going to stand around at practice and be a mouth. Like, Morey couldn't massage that situation the entire offseason. It had been brewing forever and still couldn't figure it out. I mean, there's a lot there that you're like, with the amount of talent you had, you should have been able to do more. And some of the decisions, the biggest ones, were really questionable.
Yeah, huge, huge red flags all over the place. You know who the only person, like the happiest person about what happened in Philly is not in Miami at all. It's not even a Heat fan. Chris Paul has got to be the happiest person that Philly is going through what they're going through. Because Harden, all the attention's on Harden.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, the Phoenix Suns got whipped last night again,
crushed
by the Mavericks, 113-86, another blowout. And CP3 looked bad. Devin Booker couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. There's like all of that, this trouble that we're talking about with Philly. Chris Paul, he in James Harden, right? Their numbers are in the playoffs to the regular season. If you look at their raw numbers, they're very equal, like throughout their careers, right? Their career playoff averages. Mm-hmm. There is something about when the rubber meets the road in the postseason, though, that you can't trust either one of those guys.
Well, and Paul at his age,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you want to talk about mental pressure cooker. I mean, seriously, what goes through that guy's mind? He's got to be sitting there going, I've been pursuing this for how long? And I either get hurt or I stink. So, I mean, what in a game seven, he's like, am I going to get hurt or am I going to be crappy tonight?
You never know. You never know. Roll the dice, baby. Hey, the great thing is, though, is that we get a game seven. We get a game seven in the NBA playoffs. And that will be on Sunday as we'll have Mavs Suns game seven. And then I think we could potentially have another one with Boston and Milwaukee will play on Sunday if there is a game seven coming out of tonight's game.
Right.
And if the Warriors don't figure it out, they'll play a game seven against Memphis.
On Monday or Sunday?
On Monday they will.
And what the heck was that? I mean, does anybody not want to win this thing?
I mean,
have you ever seen so many teams trying to win a NBA title get crushed?
Boy, it sure seems like that 2019 playoffs where the Blazers ended up making the Western Conference Finals kind of just like stumbled their way into it, right? Where you're having so many teams where you're just like, what is going on? Meanwhile, Miami has been the number one overall seed in the East. They've been consistent in the playoffs, and they're already sitting there saying, all right, who are we waiting for? You have inconsistencies and a massive meltdown with Boston. You have inconsistencies in Golden State and in Phoenix, which we thought were going to be shoo-ins to have that series. Can you imagine the letdown if it's Memphis, Dallas, when everybody's like, we get it, we're going to get Phoenix and Golden State? It's very real and very, it's on the table right now that both of those teams could lose and right. We could have Dallas and Memphis.
Memphis without their superstar, by the way.
Yeah, that was unbelievable. No Morant, no. And then come out and get and beat him by plus 40.
No, come on, Buck. It's got to end tonight, right? It's got to end tonight. There's no way Memphis can do this.
I would hope so, but boy, the Warriors didn't inspire last game.
But wouldn't it be exciting if there was a game seven?
I love game
seven. It's always exciting. I think there are three in the NHL on Saturday, too.
Really?
Pretty sure.
Oh, my gosh. I saw that we had two, but yeah, we got, and I think they're all tomorrow, right? All the game sevens?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
In the NHL. All right, 503-250-1080. I don't know what to think of what I saw today. It may be one of my favorite videos of all time. The audio is just as good as well. This is Dusty and Friends. We got Dave Bartu, College Football Matrix, in with us in about 14 minutes. We're going to unlock it and let her all rip. How Bartu became the preeminent voice of analytics in college football. Next on The Fan. I have no idea where this audio came from, except for it's from the NFL Network, Dave Bartu. It may be one of my favorite videos that is on the internet right now. It is of Jameis Winston, the quarterback of the New Orleans Saints.
I have not seen this.
You haven't?
No.
You can go to my Twitter feed at Dusty_Hera. And when you hear this little piece of audio and you pair it with Jameis's expression on his face and the fact that he's doing the Ricky Bobby, I don't know what to do with my hands. I can't get enough of this. And just it's amazing to me that this guy, he has his flashes of just absolute brilliance as a football player.
Right.
But then you can see where it can all go into the side of the mountain. When you hear Jameis Winston on his recovery from his knee surgery.
As a kid, my passion was always football, right? But being taken away from the game, I didn't realize that my passion was playing football.
I love everything about Jameis Winston. Like, he gets so much criticism for eating W's and being eccentric, right?
Right.
He, to me, is just like this genuine person of, is he maybe trying too hard to be, you know, philosophical with what he says? Yes, absolutely.
Right.
But we all know that person, and that person in my life is usually somebody I absolutely love.
Like, yeah.
They're just great to have around. Maybe I don't want him to be my quarterback, but when Jameis puts it together on a field, like, people forget, like, he had his 30-30 year, right? 30 touchdowns, 30 interceptions. he also threw for 5,000 yards. Like, he is incredible when he's on.
Right. It's like this just borderline not being in the league NFL Hall of Famer.
Right.
I mean, it's just the natural talent has always been off the charts.
Yes.
You know, I mean, he took that Florida State team to a national title. He shouldered it. Actually, one of the best quarterbacking years that I believe that we have seen. You want to talk about shouldering a team. It was not the national championship year. It was the year after.
Yeah, where they lost to Oregon in the Rose Bowl.
Oregon in the Rose Bowl, and every Duck fan, we can close our eyes right now, and we can see the sack, the fumble, the recovery for a touchdown.
Which is the bad of Jameis. Like, right, the good and the bad. There's the
but
he
was trying, though. He was, but that team was also 7-0 that year in one-possession games. He was phenomenal.
Right, you know? And that was the year that everybody said they were undefeated, and everybody said they're not that good.
They weren't, but it was him.
Yeah.
And that's why I really believed that he had a shot at being really good in the NFL. And we've seen flashes of it. It's just that sometimes there's the opposite flashes that are, you know, pick after pick after pick.
And just like right there where in that audio clip, he's trying too hard to say, I just miss playing football. Like, that's what I want, right? He tries too hard in the games, too. Maybe he should have worn contacts and gotten his LASIK a little bit earlier. But you see that a lot of his interceptions, like, he's trying too hard. And Bruce Arians used to go to bat for him all the time. And this is a really interesting thing that as we're seeing it now, you know, Arians was throwing Tom Brady under the bus. And that was seen as something like a bone of contention with Brady's, like, publicly Arians would throw Tom Brady under the bus. He always went to bat for Jameis Winston, which I thought was interesting. Is like, no, like, he'd be like, the receiver ran the wrong route there. It was the receiver's fault. Where it's kind of like flipped the defense of Tom Brady or the defense of Jameis Winston and the criticisms of Tom Brady. It's like, no, Tom Brady is undeniably the greatest quarterback that we've seen.
Right, right. Well, and maybe that was Arians just understanding what he feels was the psychology needed to get that guy to excel.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you know, maybe he needed to talk that way about Brady to piss him off and get him at his highest level.
Yeah.
Where he does that for Jameis, and he just, it falls apart, you know, and he needs the support. So we'll go with that. We'll just say Arians was really smart about psychologically trying to get the most out of both guys.
Bruce Arians as an executive is going to be something to behold in the NFL, because that guy with zero filter, that's going to be something. That is going to be something.
Yeah, that's, you know, something with the, I find it interesting watching head coaches try to transition to be an executive, because a lot of the head coaches I work with are different. They're wired. So, like, being a head coach and talking to the offensive coordinator or the DB coach or the running back coach, head coaches have a different perspective on everything. And it's a different motivation. I really can't put my finger on it, because each guy is different, right? Yeah. That I work with. But there's something about their drive and their focus and their leadership that is very, very different than your everyday coordinator or every other headset guy.
Yeah.
And I just don't see that working very well in an executive role.
Well, isn't it something that, like, we have, you mentioned that with, like, coordinators, and there's always that coordinator. It's like, why isn't he getting a look? You know, Eric Bieniemy is a great example of this, like, where it's like, you know, the guy is brilliant. Like, people go to bat for him all the time and say, like, his acumen, his ability to motivate as a coordinator is awesome. But there is that element of, well, can he be the head coach leadership type? Because there is a difference in those two things, because it's not as simple as saying, like, it's a good cop, bad cop kind of thing, where, like, when you're the head coach, you got to be the bad cop all the time. But there is that difference of the command of the locker room and of coordinators, coaches, and players alike.
Yeah, it's hard to say, like, with the Bieniemy example, you know, who knows what it is?
Right.
You know, exactly. Is it just can't interview, doesn't have the demeanor, I don't know. You know, I'm not even going to guess at that.
Nope.
But I do know that for the most part, head coaches are just wired different. And I just don't see how that translates well to managing a front office.
Sure. Absolutely. Well, we're going to find out in Tampa Bay with, you know, Jason Licht's right-hand man being now Bruce Arians. All right, let's dive into it. Dave Bartu, the College Football Matrix. You gave us a little tease of the origin stories of the College Football Matrix as 1080 the Fan played a big role in it. We're going to dive into Dave Bartu, how he got to where he is now as a guy who helps fans, gamblers, and athletic departments all get to make the right calls when it comes to Saturday afternoons. Dave Bartu continues with us on Dusty and Friends and The Fan.
Hey, we really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.